Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily podcast on the Phoenix Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Evan Sidery, here with co-host Yusuf Salim. Yusuf, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Well, we're both doing better than the Phoenix Suns last night. They lost their season opener by 48 points last night. No, you're not mistaken. They lost by 48 points in their home opener. Yusuf, what's your overall thoughts and what exactly happened? Like, I thought they might lose the game, obviously, but I don't think anyone really expected a 48-point loss in the first game of the season.
Yeah, I think what happened in the preseason, all preseason, just translated to the first game of the season. It was the same story last year where they just struggled in the preseason, and they're kind of just sticking to the stuff they're running in the preseason. I wasn't really expecting that, considering at the end of last year, Watson was kind of making some good adjustments to his offense. They were getting to the elbows more, but he seems to really be sticking to his motion concepts throughout the preseason, throughout the first game, and they've really, really been struggling. Even against the game against a team from Australia, that second quarter, that second half, they were in their motion sets primarily, and you could just see the struggles. It was a completely different story from the first half to the second half. So if you can't execute against a team from Australia and their motion sets, I don't think you can execute against any NBA team, really.
I want to get your observations from last night's game, because I noticed the Suns had a very good start the first couple minutes. They were up 9-2. They were only down by, I believe, 3 or so points around the end of the first quarter. Did Terry Stotts just figure out what Watson was doing, or what do you think happened there?
Well, I think what ended up happening is that I even talked about a little bit on our first episode last time was, can this team continue good play for 40 minutes of a game? And I said they can't, because I think it just disappears after the first 5 minutes of the game. The first preseason game against Portland, they came out focused, energized. They ran the best concepts of their offense, where they had one set with Booker setting a back screen with Warren coming off the flare screen. So the key to Watson's motion sets is having simultaneous action, or having an action before an action, something Greg Popovich is the king at, and why he's had so much success. Watson's trying to replicate those same exact concepts and adding some concepts from Terry Stotts' offense. So I think what ends up happening is they just lose it after the first 5 minutes. I think Watson said after the game that when the second unit came in, he saw a big drop off, which is true, but I also think that he wasn't calling the right plays at the right time. And to be honest with you, they're running pretty much 5 to 10 sets, depending on what you count as a variation. So they have one pistol set that they're going to run in early offense, where you have a strong side handoff, and then they'll run a flare screen for a guard coming off. So that was Daniels in that case. And then they'll run pick and roll. Another set they'll run is a set that Hornacek used to run all the time, which was an entry. It's a Horns entry, so you have a 4-5, and then the guard has the entry into the 5, and then he'll cut on the weak side corner, and then they have a back screen, and then they go straight into the pick and roll. That's the set I don't like at all. The whole idea with all these sets that they're running is for isolation, is for pick and roll spacing. So I wasn't really a fan of what they ran, and at this point, I don't even know if I should expect them to change.
Yeah, that was very, really interesting to me, because, like I said, they seemed like they got into a really good start in the first couple minutes, but all of a sudden it just fell flat, and the effort really went away very quickly on both ends. The Blazers shot, I'm looking at the box score right now, the Blazers shot almost 50% from the court at 48.9%, 44 of 90 from the field. They shot 14 of 24 from three-point range, 58%, and the Suns were one of the worst teams at guarding the three last year. How do they plan on improving the defense? Because we know Earl's sets on offense have been a little struggling so far, but his defense still seems pretty bad so far.
Defensively, I mean, they've tried almost everything at this point, going back to last season. I think a little bit last season at the end of the year, they were in a lot of zone. They started out the game against Brooklyn in a 2-3 zone on the road. That's rare to see from an NBA team, but I do think a little bit of that was a part of the tanking, because Dallas was doing the same thing at the end of the year last year. So my thing is, if you're an NBA team and you're in a 2-3 zone at the end of the year, that's tanking. So I'm not exactly sure if they want to go with that in actual games that matter. But I think they just have to be more aggressive. Obviously, Booker is not a great one-on-one defender. Bledsoe has not been the defender that he was in the past. And then Tyson Chandler doesn't really give you that much rim protection. So I think Earl, he might go bigger now with Len and Chandler. Or you have to get bigger because they got beat up on the boards as well, right?
Yeah, it was. I believe in the third quarter or the mid-fourth quarter was over double what the Suns had. I believe it was like 58 to 23 at one point.
Yeah, so Marquese Chris, I don't know what happened. He just looked out of sorts last night, and he doesn't really give you much. He hasn't really been giving you that much rebounding last year. I don't know how much rebounding. I don't know how much he's improved this year, considering he hasn't really shown that much. But I don't even know what. I actually think it's a good thing that they lost by 50 rather than 10, 20, 30 or anything, because now you might see some big time changes in how they run their offense, because they have concepts in their offense that work. They just don't run them as frequently, and I'm not exactly sure why they don't. But this last game, though, there was nothing there strategically, like Earl said. They didn't run Spurs motion weak once, and they usually run that a couple times a game. They didn't run almost any horn sets. They didn't run their Princeton concepts with the entry into the five and setting a stagger screen. So a lot of their concepts that they're trying, it pretty much was just a replication of the Jazz game from the preseason. And if they're going to be like that for the season, that really, really scares me. And I don't think, I mean, you're looking at maybe a 20-25 win team if they stay with that, with these concepts, because you're just not going to win doing this.
Yeah, I was really curious when they released the lineups an hour and a half before the game. The stars last night were Eric Bledsoe, Devin Booker, TJ Warren, Josh Jackson. Warren was at the small ball four, and Tyson Chandler. How did you like that starting lineup? Because it really looked like, one, Tyson Chandler doesn't really fit what they're trying to do on offense, so I don't really know why he's out there. But obviously, yeah, for the veteran leadership purposes. But Marquese Chris really did not seem comfortable at all coming off the bench.
I think Marquese Chris needs to start, and he gives them a big boost in their sets, because if you have a five that can post up, and if you have a five that can really shoot, that can spread the floor, shoot the three, because at this point, Chandler doesn't really give you any of that. But Chris really hasn't proven that he has a post game. But I think just more mentally, he needs to start the game just for his confidence purposes. What did you think with that starting lineup?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I thought it was really interesting. I liked it at first because I thought, wow, I mean, Booker, Jackson, Warren, you're playing your three best wings. I mean, I think that's a smart idea. But starting Chandler and then seeing the first couple minutes of the game, I quickly realized that I don't think Tyson Chandler's a very productive pro that much anymore. I mean, what is he, 38, 17th year in the league? So, Dragan Bender, he was the one that really, really surprised me, because he was by far the best defender on the court. He seemed very comfortable. His shot wasn't going down. He finished over 3 from 3, over 5 from the field, but he had 7 rebounds, a block, and a steal. Contested, denied at least 7 or 10 shots to the rim. What was your expectations from Bender, or your overall thoughts of Bender? I'm sorry. And then, do you think that Bender and Len should be playing over Tyson Chandler at this point?
Yeah, I think even going back to last season, if you go back to the game at home against the Mavs where they won by, they blew them out, but you saw Alex Len and Dragan Bender seem to have good defensive synergy together. I don't know what their plus minus is on the floor, but that won't really indicate their defensive synergy
in preseason
together,
they had
so.
One in preseason they had one of the best overall plus minus as far as defense goes for the Suns in terms of forward combos.
Exactly. So I think you're looking at, well, with Dragan Bender, like I said on the last time we were on, was you drafted the guy top five overall because of his defensive value, because you're looking for a guy that can switch pick and roll, have that Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green type of impact defensively. He's not there yet, but I think he's definitely your best option. And I would be surprised to see them start Bender, but maybe in the second unit with Bender and Len coming in, it gives them some good defensive ability. But what you think of that second unit? I thought that second unit was really bad.
Yeah, at one point the Suns, I think midway through third quarter.
Didn't you tweet something like you would want to see Jackson and Warren in the second unit? Or
yeah, one of Jackson and Warren. I think TJ Warren belongs with the bench unit because he needs his own unit. As we said on the last podcast, he needs his own unit to get himself going, to get that confidence going of his, because he can easily average, I think, 16, 17 points a game off the bench, controlling his own unit. But at one point during the game last night, the Suns had zero bench points, and it was through the third quarter, midway through the third quarter. So I think there has to be some sort of change done there, because the bench did absolutely nothing. And once the starters came out in the first wave of the game, the bench immediately lost that lead for him.
Yeah, they need to find a scoring punch in that second unit. You're right. I think they should go with TJ Warren in the second unit, and he's just such a good isolation scorer, and they try getting him isolated from the top of the key so many times that he's going to be a good scorer in the second unit. So, but from a pure like X's and O's standpoint, I was just kind of shocked and surprised that Earl didn't make the changes, because usually he's really good at finding, he keeps stuff the same, but he runs a lot of good counteractions. Like one of the new sets that they're trying to run, which I kind of like, kind of don't like, is straight, they copied it straight from Quinn Snyder in the Utah Jazz. He used to run it for Gordon Hayward all the time last year. It's pretty much, I'm sure they'll run it against the Lakers tomorrow night, so you guys should watch for it. It's pretty much just Booker sets a back screen around the free throw line, and then he'll come into a handoff with the five, so that's either Chandler or Lynn. And then the idea is to get him free for that open three, but what they're actually trying to do is run hammer action on the weak side. So at this point, they can't even get Booker the ball on the handoff. That's how bad it is. Like, you can't forget about the hammer act. That's just a whole nother complication, is trying to get the actual hammer action on the weak side. They can't even get to the point where you have the actual handoff at the wing with the five. So that's why I think it's so frustrating for the players, for the coaches, is that you're running so many of the same sets as other teams, but you're not having the same success, and that comes with execution. Even at the end of the game last night in the fourth quarter, they're running thumb up, a set they've ran 100 times. Everyone knows it's coming, and they can't even get Jackson free off a basic zipper cut into a pitch back. So forget about, like, I know I've tweeted about that set thumb up a lot, and how they can have better counter options with Josh Jackson this year, how they can have better, which they did in the first 5 minutes of that preseason game, have simultaneous action. But if you can't even get Jackson open off a basic zipper cut, I mean, you're not going to win many games. And even at times in that Brisbane game in Australia, like, Bledsoe would put his thumb up and Derek Jones Jr. wasn't even in position to set the zipper cut at the right time. And then that just throws off the entire timing of the set. And that's extremely frustrating just from a fan's perspective, because, like, you run this set 1,000 times through practice, through games, and you can't even get the first basic part of it down, and that's just so frustrating.
Before we dive into a Lakers preview, I wanted to ask you one question related to Earl Watson. I know it's just super early, and obviously a performance like that maybe warrants this discussion already, but if these kind of performances continue with Earl Watson, we discussed in the media room with a couple people last night, is Earl in the hot seat if this kind of performances continue?
Yeah, I think he's on the hot seat, and he knows he's on the hot seat, and he would be completely honest about it too, that if you don't win, he knows that if he doesn't win, he's out. So what I mean by win is like 30, 35 wins. If they win less than 30 games, I think Enos is probably going to be out. So especially if you're like, if I could talk to, I haven't talked to him since the preseason started. So I used to talk to him in the summer, but if I could just tell him one thing, it's just to just run some more UCLA concepts and try to just not stick so much to the motion concepts. But I think they'll be fine over the course of the season. I know it's just one game and people want to overreact, but I think they'll be fine.
Now, before we dive into our Lakers preview real quick, let's get to our sponsor, SeatGeek. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events with SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience. You can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. SeatGeek can get you close to the action for a great value. And actually, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. And if you guys want to get tickets to the Lakers game tomorrow night, you can use my code LOMBA. I'll repeat it, it's LOMBA, to get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase if you want to go to the Lakers game tomorrow night. So let's dive into that Lakers game, Yusuf. What's your overall expectations after Wednesday's game for that game?
Yeah, I think the Lakers, I mean, that's just a game that I think they can bounce back in with a younger team that's not as good defensively. And Lonzo Ball at the point guard. I'm just excited to watch Lonzo Ball. What about you?
Oh, definitely. I think that's the matchup I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to whenever Josh Jackson gets that first switch on the Lonzo Ball. I think that's going to be a lot, really entertaining. I asked Josh a question today. I was like, is that matchup important to you, like going against the 2017 rookies? Because he mentioned after the draft, he's like, no other prospect in this class works as hard as I do. No other prospect wants to be as great as I am. Like, that wants to be as great as I want to be. So he played it off at practice today. He pretty much said, no, I mean, going against a rookie, I don't really care. But do you think that matchup's like a good matchup to look forward to?
Yeah, I like that. But I think it's a good game for them, considering the Lakers are going to push the pace, and that's how the Suns want to play. So hopefully you're looking at a high number of fast break points for the Suns, so they don't even have to execute in the half court, right? So that's what I'm expecting them, and then hopefully it's a close game. But I just want to see some big changes in terms of not running the same. Like I can tell you pretty much what they're going to run, when they're going to run it, and that's not good, considering it's just the same 5-10 sets that they're running. I just want to see more of what they ran towards the end of last year. And if they do that, I think they'll be fine.
One thing that really concerns me as far as this game goes is the Lakers, as far as their three-point shooting. They have really good shooters with Lonzo, Kuzma. Brook Lopez came and hit it up from outside. And the Suns have shown a tendency to let the fives just shoot it from mid-range and from the outside. So if Lopez gets hot, watch out for that one. But they have some good stretch bigs. So what's your expectations as far as that?
Well, defensively, I think my expectations are, I hope they have a better defensive performance. But based on the teams they struggled with last season, I would expect them to continue to struggle. Like last season, the team they struggled with the most, the Denver Nuggets, right? They had a big that can pass in Jokic. They really get to the elbows. The Suns really struggled against the Grizzlies as well, right? Marc Gasol. So there's a pattern there where they struggle against bigs that can pass. And obviously Luke Walton, coming from Golden State, he wants those same concepts into his offense. I haven't really studied a ton of what the Lakers are running now with Lonzo Ball, but it's going to be pretty much the same stuff, and they might really struggle, especially Josh Jackson, considering it's his first game. I talked about it a little bit last time about how he really gets caught sometimes on backdoor cuts and he loses his guys. So hopefully, I think if you're going to run Jackson and Chris out there and Warren, that they might struggle defensively. The defensive struggles might continue from last night.
Before we call an end to this episode today, we'll be back with you guys on Saturday after to recap the Lakers game, I want to get your thoughts on the offense. Is there any matchup that you like particularly going against the Lakers for the offense?
Well, the Lakers, they're gonna try to get Warren isolated from the top of the key through their zipper sets. And then that's just their main sideline out of bounds sets, a zipper pick and roll, try to get him isolated. I don't know who the Lakers are going to run at him with Caldwell Pope suspended. I don't know if they play Kuzma at the three. They have Nance. So whatever matchup they're going to throw out there, Earl's going to go straight isolation with Warren, I would expect. And then Booker usually can get going against the Lakers. So we'll see. Should be a fun game with the atmosphere and Lonzo Ball. That's the beauty of playing the Lakers, is the atmosphere is always good.
Oh, for sure. I'm looking forward to shoot around tomorrow morning if they have a shoot around.
Lakers games are always fun.
Oh, I know. It's going to be a circus tomorrow. Can't wait for that game. We'll be back with you guys on Saturday for the recap of this game.
With the holidays around the corner, now's your chance to save time and money at Safeway's Stock Up Sale. Plus, earn 4x gas reward points on participating items. Look for tags on items like Honey Nut Cheerios. Select varieties are 4 for $8 with your club card. And select varieties of Betty Crocker Cake Mix, Brownie Mix, or Frosting are 10 for $10 with your club card. Maximum gas reward at participating Sunoco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. For complete details, go to Safeway.com.